Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you know, let's just get our cards on the table. There is Steve Noble, who I would call myself an average procreator with four children. And then there's Steve Lewis of Lewis & Associates Capital Advisors, who I would call a prolific procreator because he has 10 children by birth between he and his lovely wife, Thea, and two children by adoption. And so there's an average Joe named Steve, and that's me. And then there's what appears to be a superhuman Joe named Steve, and that's Steve Lewis. Welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you? It's been a while.
It has been a long time.
Is that are you lodging an official complaint? Is that how we're starting?
Yeah, I'll call Gina later.
Well, that's an easy way. Get in line, dude. If you want to go to my wife to lodge an official complaint, thank you for calling the Steve Noble Complaint Hotline. Please hold, and you'll be on there a while. But she'll commiserate because she's had to live with me. Could you imagine that, being married to me for 25 years?
Is this show about you?
Yeah.
I mean.
Wow. Hello. Apparently not. It's about the Lord.
Okay, you're in Dallas. You want
to
get
prefer it to be about
you. Want to get that out of the way? You're in Dallas.
I was in Dallas yesterday, yes.
And
so what? What difference does that make?
You're going to probably say it five times during the show.
That I was in Dallas, that's twice. Anyway, believe it or not, it's good to see you. Welcome back to Call to Action Radio. Steve Lewis, the original Money Monday guy, we did radio for years, and he did his own show. That's how we met originally, isn't it? You were on the Truth Radio Network on Saturdays.
I sure did.
And how did that even come together? Like, how did we meet? Did you show up in the studio one day and
I was
doing my show?
Well, I was doing the live show on Saturday, and then my wife asked me, hey, Steve, is this a six-day work week for you now?
Uh-oh. Yep. Done that.
And
if you're going to follow the Lord, it is, in fact, a six-day work week. 6 days, Thea. Mrs. Lewis. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and then day you rest.
Can
so
you imagine?
That's Monday through Friday, just sinners.
You can hear Thea asking that question.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, big time. Yeah. So I started just coming in doing taped, and I was finishing a taping, and you walked in.
Sorry.
And we had a common friend relationship.
You were like,
right?
Are you that Steve Noble?
We had a common friend relationship.
We did?
And you asked me to come and do a gold show.
Oh, that's right.
So we called in our friend Chad from Chicago
right.
and had him in. And
that's when it started.
That's when it started.
That's when the love affair started to bloom.
Then I had to call Truth that I want to cancel my show a few months later, and they got really upset with you and me.
And then you ended up being on my show, like we did a lot of Monday things for a while.
Yes, and then you kicked me off.
And then I kicked you off. And then we've been awesome friends, developing a wonderful friendship. You guys are a huge blessing to the Noble family. We always feel we go to your house and we feel like we're doing something wrong because we're bringing additional people to a house of 12 plus two parents. Well, one's in the military now. Sam's in the military in the Air Force. And so, but it's still 11 kids at home plus you and Thea. And then we show up with any number of our people. And we just feel like we should probably never do that. But
well, like the restaurant incident. Last time.
What happened at the restaurant incident? What
you did in the booth.
What did I do? Something bad?
Put it to you this way, it was animated.
Animated.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I am.
Yes.
I'm an animated talk radio guy.
Catherine knows, probably.
Yeah, she could probably guess. But
sound effects, the whole
nine I've
yards.
Got a dark side. I'm a Star Wars guy, so, you know, the light and the dark. Anyway, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Yeah, nice change. Nice
thank
transition.
You. We're just going to get out of there now and move on. But we're going to talk about, and just by way of full disclosure, Steve, not only a good friend, but my brother in Christ, and he also helps us with our finances, investments and stuff, and so I trust him, obviously, and that's why we talk about finances from time to time, and he's really great in the markets and understanding market segments and stuff like that. He brings a different perspective to this whole conversation than we get with our other friend David Fisher, and so that's why it's great to have Steve back on. We're going to look at 2017, right, which was a whale of a year in terms of investments in the stock market, and we'll look at different segments of that. And then we'll look at 2018 and what's going on. We'll also talk about Bitcoin, too, because that's all the rage, and if I'm going to fulfill my dream of being like Glenn Beck, I need to talk about Bitcoin. So
Is he an advocate of it?
He was, but you know, like say, hey, it's play money. Don't put any money into it. You can't afford to lose, which is kind of funny coming from a guy that makes $20 or $30 million a year. But whatever, I digress. So let's talk about 2017. I mean, was this like the biggest market year in your history as an advisor yourself?
I think 2009 was relatively close. 2009 beat last year.
Really?
Yeah. We're looking at about 29 back in 2009.
Wow, 29% increase.
Yes. And it was unusual that the S&P trailed the Dow and the NASDAQ last year. The Dow had that last surge.
Yeah.
And everything came up after that. But
So are you gonna lay the incredible year that was 2017 in the markets? Are you going to lay that at the feet of our president and fly up to D.C. and thank Donald Trump?
Well, the market is really an anticipation of, not a result of anything, by and large. And the consumer discretionary sector, which is very a subjective sector, it's really based on the Laffer theory of economics, right? You give people more money, they'll spend it.
Right.
It's a feel-good, subjective, and you know, it's the locomotive of the train of the economy. And it works inverted to the staples, and we're seeing it already. The consumer staples is rather flat this year.
So when you say consumer staples, what do you mean?
Those are mandatory purchases, you know, almost defensive positions, like Procter & Gamble is a consumer products stock in the Dow Jones. And you see like auto parts is in the defensive sector.
Like we
Dollar Tree and things of that nature.
Like we unfortunately had to just spend a truckload of money and replace our heating and air unit.
Oh, wow.
So is that a consumer staple, that stuff like that? Because that there's no way around
that. That would be.
That's not discretionary.
Well, those
spending.
Stocks are under the discretionary sector.
Okay, they are.
Interesting you say that, is that alcohol and tobacco is under the staples.
Welcome to America, baby.
I mean, depending what research firm you use, but we rely a lot on Yardini, so you're going to see that in that sector.
That's funny. I got to have my booze and my cigarettes. I don't need my heat and my air conditioning.
Maybe it's based on the addictive behavior of those things. You know, I got to have that, you know, that vape.
Come on back, Lord. Get me out of here. Anyway, but 2017, I mean, was it great across the entire economy?
No. The sectors? Or?
Yeah, the different sectors of the economy.
Energy was down 4%, and we had telecom was down 6%. And utilities showed its ugly head finally in the month of December, but it was plus 8%. And the entire S&P was in about the 2021 range.
And what was the big winner of all the sectors last year?
Information technology, about
37%. So we'll dive into that because I want to ask some examples of these various sectors, some companies that we all know of, and what happened in 2017, and even more important, what's going on in 2018? How do we get involved with what's happening or protect ourselves from what might happen? Talking to Steve Lewis, Lewis and Associates here on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Kim, you got to bring up that music, baby. It's David Bowie. You got to give him his props. You got to just rock it in there coming out of the commercial break right into a little David Bowie. This is Steve Noble. This is Call to Action Radio. Great to be back in Raleigh. Did I tell you, by the way, I was in Dallas yesterday? Steve Lewis is here, who is just, I don't know, he's just in a bad mood today or so. I don't know what's going on. He didn't get his Wheaties or his, they kind of eat healthy at his house and he does all kinds of weird stuff. So maybe that didn't happen today. But Steve Lewis, believe it or not, a dear friend of mine, Lewis and Associates Capital Advisors, LACapitalAdvisors.com is his website. A friend, a Christian brother, and he also happens to handle the Noble Family Fortune, which is not a fortune, but it's real. And Steve helps us out, which is a huge blessing. And now he's leaving the studio to go get the dark chocolate mint M&Ms. You just couldn't. You brought the whole thing in here. What's up with that?
Well, you said I'd eat healthy. I had a
You got to take care of that. All right, very
Absolutely.
Good. So we were talking about last year. So overall, the Dow Jones Industrial was up like what? A little over 20%?
Yes.
Was that the total return?
Yes.
And then oftentimes, and you've educated me about this over the years, you look at the different sectors of the economy. So like consumer discretionary was up 21%, consumer staples up 11%, energy down 4%. Financials 20% up, healthcare 20% up, industrials 19% up, information technology 37% up, then materials, real estate, telecom services, which was down 6%, and then utilities only up 8%, which they only snuck into that area at the end of the year. So give us some examples of big companies that we would know that kind of so we can kind of follow along with what these sectors
are. Well, Seagate Technology, software, NVIDIA Corporation.
Oh, NVIDIA. All right. Got that one.
A lot of those up there are just growing like crazy. We were between 38 and 51% weighted in IT in the portfolios across the
board. So when you say that, that means 38 to 51% of the holdings were in IT in 2017.
Correct.
So you saw that one coming and like,
right.
Let's get in
and,
here.
Yeah, and we were in leveraged positions too, three times leveraged in the ETF space, in the technology space.
Which to those of us
three
people
times,
outside of
three
your
times
world.
Earnings. And we chased the NASDAQ as well. We leveraged that three times.
And it obviously it paid off. So
yeah,
good year.
Within the technology space and the whole, you know, we were bullish on the index as a whole.
Would you call it a phenomenal year from your perspective as an advisor?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a phenomenal
year.
Yeah,
I think in 12 months, we only had two negative months in terms of the returns.
Yeah.
All three major indices, only, I think, about two, no more than three for sure, all the way across. So it was very much a stair step going up. And it was quite amazing to see it shift. But, you know, with all the cybersecurity and everything else, the IT was just screaming for us to get in there.
Yeah.
And and the S&P 500, for example, you know, they had those larger companies in there. And we saw Boeing do real well and on the industrial side.
Well, I asked you about Donald Trump, and you made a great point that, you know, the market's kind of looking ahead. It's because we look at it and go, well, Donald Trump's elected now. So it's not like he did something in November and December when he first got in, but the market started to shoot up. So so what was that you were saying? The market is predictive, or what was that you said? The market
it's the anticipation of as opposed to the result of.
Got it.
I mean, so for example, if there's a rumor that the Fed is going to raise interest rates, the market will open up whatever it's going to do without even hearing from the Fed yet.
Right. Got it.
And so it does the same stuff, you know, and remember election night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, moment looked like Trump was going to win. The market fell. It was 800 and something.
That's crazy.
And then it just came back and in anticipation of the industrial spending and what he wants to do. We've seen the repatriation of the dollars coming back already. You have Disney announcing stuff. AT&T
crazy.
Came out of the blocks first and all these
countries. I mean, look at Disney just announced they're giving a $1,000 bonus to all their employees, which I think is over 100,000. And then the Apple thing, and they're bringing back a few hundred billion dollars. Mm-hmm. And then – what was it, $20 billion or something, the investment they're going to make and build another headquarters in America? Just amazing. And so
Chrysler's leaving Mexico, going back to Detroit.
Are they really?
Yeah.
And so that's just anticipating that this business environment, which the corporate taxes just went from 35% or 36% down to 21%. Mm-hmm. But just so everybody knows, corporate income taxes only make up 9% of the revenue to the federal government. So when a liberal's crying that this is going to train wreck everything, it's only 9% of our revenues. Most of our revenues to the federal government are from income taxes, the taxes we pay, and then matching taxes, employers' taxes. So, but what's the market at this point, early in 2018, what's the market anticipating for the rest of this year? What do you think?
You know, we really don't worry about what they're anticipating. We just watch the volume within the sectors. We were predominantly just five sectors last year. We're still in five sectors this year. We kicked out an email, and if anyone wants to be part of it, they can email us through our website. If they want to be part of our recaps, we'll just email them if they want to see
them. Which is what? How do they get to – what's your website?
LACapitalAdvisors.com. Click on contact, and it'll give us your email address. We'll put you on the recaps. And, you know, what we are anticipating doing, and we kind of halted on it, we were going to add more exposure to materials and 10%, carrying a 10% versus the S&P at 3%, healthcare up 20%. We manage healthcare is really, really, really doing well right now. What am I doing?
Just turn that down.
I want to speak on this side.
Yeah, you're fine. Then you don't have to pull that thing.
Okay.
Just you're fine.
We were going to decrease the IT a little bit, but it's out of the blocks again so quickly. We've actually increased that to more than 38% right now.
So you're just reacting to the information that the market is feeding you on a daily basis.
We just watch the volume and watch the four volatility factors that we watch a lot and kind of tells us really where it's going.
Now, we've talked about this generally over the years. I've brought up this saying. I said, this isn't your father's stock market. Because the buy and hold long term, when there's so many changes and so many wild things going on in the marketplace, is that still kind of the strategy that you have to be paying attention all the time and be willing to move around?
Well, if you're the investment manager, you have to. But I think if you're the buy and hold strategy, as you know, I think a lot of people are advocate of.
Yeah.
You have to be worried about what you just stated there. But, you know, we put a stop price, trail stop on everything. We'll go in. Despite the success last year, we did go in on limit orders, you know, more than anything else.
So if something starts to drop a certain amount, it'll automatically sell.
Yeah, we establish it initially on the buy-in, and then as it moves up, we have to do what's called a beta calculation, which is a market risk on each equity based on a 90-day. And then we'll put the trail stop behind it. It'll trail all the way up.
Based on a 90-day rolling average of that price?
About? Not to get technical, it's called the substandard deviation. And it trails up for 6 months. It'll follow up for 6 months on the trading platform. And if we're skeptical on going in, we'll just buy it on limit.
Yeah.
So, and you know, believe it or not, there was a lot of volatility in that substandard deviation side. I mean, a lot of movement.
Yeah, up and down.
People look at total return. We're going to talk about that later. But there was a lot of movement going inside that, well, you take NVIDIA Corporation, right? After the end of quarter two of last year, despite last year beating last year's numbers by 51 and 54% consecutively, it opened up at 11% down because a couple very popular analysts stated that come October, they're going to lose 23% of the market share.
That would be a big deal.
So some of our stock prices hit, and we had to override those, go into dozens of accounts and overrode those, only for NVIDIA to go hit all-time highs.
Yeah, yeah. Because NVIDIA has some of the technology that goes into autonomous driving.
Exactly.
Right? So that's world that's obviously going to keep going.
In 16, it was Microsemi, was another tech company that posted great numbers, but it never did recover. You know, it opened up at 7% down in 2016.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to just look at these things. So, you know, with the stock prices and the trails, you know, we know we've protected the portfolios by doing that.
Right. Yeah. You're playing kind of offense and defense all at the same time. When we come back, we'll talk some more about what's going on this year. We'll also end up talking about Bitcoin and some big financial news that's out there that Steve wants to share with us. This is Steve Noble and Steve Lewis. Steve is from Lewis & Associates Capital Advisors, LACapitalAdvisors.com. And we'll be right back after this. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to be with us on Facebook Live, come right into the studio. You can do that. Just go to facebook.com/C2A Radio. C2A Radio, that's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A. So just go facebook.com, get to your page, and then just put in the little search box, C2A Radio, and it'll come right up, and you can join us right here in the studio with Facebook Live, and then, of course, with our great affiliates around the country, and appreciate all of you out there and those great Christian radio stations that are a part of this ministry and a part of what God's doing here. So that's always awesome. Thank you to you guys. I forget to thank you, and I need to remember to do that more often. But a huge blessing to partner with so many folks out there. And today talking with my buddy Steve Lewis, Lewis & Associates Capital Advisors. And just as a reminder, Steve is an investment advisor with Brookstone Capital Management and a registered investment advisor. And by the way, just to clarify, this is not an advice show. He's not telling you what to buy or to sell. So we're just making sure we're all above board. We're all on the same page here, but talking through important financial news and important financial information. So we're talking about the different segments of the economy, and obviously last year is a great year and what we're looking at in 2018. But where do you want to go next? Because I want to make sure we'll end up talking about Bitcoin in the last segment. But I want to make sure we're covering any big financial news out there that we need to be paying attention to so that we can be good stewards of the finances that the Lord has allowed us to have.
Well, let's just go into quickly. I cover this a lot because people are greatly misled by charts that are provided to them by, you know, other people across the table. And there's a big, big difference between total return, right, annual return, which is the same thing, and then annualized return. And so just give some numbers here because a lot of people tout, you know, here's the total. Total return is basically taking January 1. Well, let's look at the numbers.
So last year, the total return.
Yeah, if you look at the total return of the Dow Jones, according to our CFA, it was 28.1, okay, from January 1 to December 29th.
Of 2017.
The
total return.
Does that mean if you put $100,000 in the Dow, you did 28? It doesn't work that way because annualized return takes the dips going in between. Now, we didn't have a whole lot last year, but you know, it still works that way.
But that's a total return is 1 year.
Correct. And so a couple things.
If you say, hey, this particular mutual fund has annualized returns of 10.2%.
Well, annualized is more accurate. Okay. If I say, but the charts that you see just take point A to point B, or take, you know, a guy named Dave on the radio a lot will say, oh, the growth stock mutual fund since 1929 has averaged 12%. He's doing a total return, dividing it by 50 years and getting a number. So you can't do it that way. So for a couple of examples, beginning in 2009 through 2016.
That would be Dave Ramsey, by the way. I'll go ahead and say
the,
that.
The total return was 294% over 8.3 years. This is coming out of 08.
Yeah.
However, the annualized was 18, so it equates to 144%. A big difference
yeah,
in those
big
two
difference,
numbers.
Yeah, big difference, right.
2002 to 2007 is 5.1 years. The total return is 108%. Annualized during that same 5 years, only 79%.
So are you telling me that a general rule of thumb in financial advising in the broker world in general is you let the buyer beware?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of broker friends, and they have to
All right, we've done this before, but I want to make sure people understand because I fear that a lot of us don't. What's the difference between, quote-unquote, a stockbroker and then somebody like an investment advisor like you are? What's the difference?
Really a title to start with. I like to also preface it by saying I'm not, not saying one is better than the other. At the end of the day, it's about relationship and do you like the results?
Sure.
The advisory side is more transparent because we have to disclose everything. If there's a conflict of interest, we have to have it. A conflict isn't bad. You just have to disclose it. Like when we started our firm years ago, we predominantly used BlackRock and Vanguard. But as we got larger, and we had to disclose that. We're going to say, basically, we're going to have Vanguard and BlackRock positions in your, that's a disclosure.
Yeah.
If we receive gifts or, gift card from a wholesale, we have to disclose that. Everything has to be logged in.
Because I, as the customer, I would be worried about, are you pushing me into certain mutual funds because that's how you earn a trip to Hawaii?
Yeah, and that's in the insurance and in a fixed annuity business. It's a disaster. It's a sewer out there with that.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. So they're going to sell you stuff.
So the fiduciary side has to disclose these things. Take it or leave it, like it or not, it has to be disclosed. The broker side doesn't have to do that. They're held to a level of suitability. So unless you ask, are you getting an incentive on this mutual fund? They
don't have to tell you unless you ask.
And whatever they're going to tell you is what they're going to tell you. But that's just really the difference. And, you're going to get more management from an advisory side. Like we trade a lot. I mean, it's not, I think you had over 30 trades. We don't charge fees on the trades because we're.
Right.
And so, again, when we were audited, the auditor did look at one of your accounts. And,
So brokers and advisors make money differently? Do they get paid differently for their services?
Well, the broker is supposed to make money for the broker-dealer. That's the goal, number one. And it doesn't mean it's any better. I mean, it's just a matter of how long as it's disclosed. But there's a lot of issues that come out with FINRA right now is the regulator for the broker-dealers, and we're regulated by the SEC or the state securities offices. And we have to use lower-priced stuff if there's one, there's some 12B1 fees that are on mutual funds.
Because you absolutely have to do what's in the best interest of the client.
Yes.
As opposed to a broker who just has to get over some level of quote-unquote suitability, which is about like the elastic clause in the Constitution.
Yeah, but I know a lot of brokers who do what's best for the client.
I'm not throwing every broker in America under the bus.
But that's just how...
I'm just talking about the system.
Right. That's just how the system is set up. Yeah. We had the Department of Labor rule last year that they were going to say anyone that works with an IRA, whether it be an insurance agent selling annuity or a broker... They have to disclose these conflicts, and it's sad to see that. It's the GOP; the Republicans are against it, and so this came out last week. Department of Labor tries to keep rider to kill Department of Labor rule on the budget, so they're being pushed. The industry is pushing the GOP to put a rider for a budget. It has nothing to do with investment or finance advice. Mm-hmm. Is to put a rider in the bill, right? They used to call it an earmark, but.
Right.
And a rider in order to put that in there to kill the DOL rule.
Wow.
And I think it should be on everybody should have to have those recommendations and standards. But, there's nothing you can really do about it. So usually what takes place in an audit is looking at all the disclosures. It's about a 6-7-8 hour audit and they come in and that's just a third of the audit. They do the rest at someplace else. Mm. And they're going a lot about disclosures. That's usually what takes a lot of time with the audit.
So once again, let the buyer beware and make sure you're doing your homework. And
just ask the questions, though. Just ask the questions. Is there a lower cost mutual fund? If this Vanguard or T. Rowe mutual fund, show me that versus another one, Manning & Napier or Nuveen or something of that that's higher price. Show me these comparisons, you know, and a lot of broker dealers are taking that due diligence and making sure it's justified because they don't want the free publicity.
Yeah, that's for sure. We're talking to Steve Lewis, Lewis and Associates Capital Advisors. His website is lacapitaladvisors.com, lacapitaladvisors.com. And what did you want to do next? You want to talk about some big news? I don't want to get to Bitcoin yet. We'll do that in the last segment.
Well, quick headlines here. Regarding brokers, this just came out last week. FINRA warns brokers about moving clients from broker accounts to advisory accounts. So they get the commission on the transaction of the, and then they take those accounts and shift them into advisory and then charge them an annual fee.
Wow.
And so FINRA's saying, whoa.
That sounds like double dipping to me.
Well, it's two different regulators, remember? If they act as an advisor, then the SEC has those. But FINRA looks at these other things. You have two ships passing in the night, but now SEC, according to this article, is going to yield to FINRA in investigating and watching those transfers.
Wow.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But it's good.
Well, that was a 9/11 thing where the FBI and the CIA were not communicating and stuff fell through the cracks, namely 19 guys that flew airplanes into buildings.
Well, so with respects to the DOL rule, states are now saying, listen, we want this DOL rule in our state. So you have New York, Connecticut, Nevada, and New Jersey revisiting it and creating their own disclosure.
Wow.
And this is one disclosure in New Jersey. This is what it says. In other words, if you're talking to me and you're working on a broker basis or an insurance basis, you have to have this disclosure. You see it, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you read it?
It says, I am not a fiduciary. Therefore, I am not required to act in your best interest and am not allowed to recommend investments that may earn higher fees for me or my firm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Could you imagine reading that?
Yeah. That's like, hey, by the way, I'm your babysitter, but I do have a tendency to abuse children. That's, but you know what? In this world, I'm like, more transparency is better. I don't care if you're Barack Obama or Donald Trump. I want transparency, and I want to see what's going on under the hood, because every human being on the planet definitely has one thing in common, and that's sin.
Well, see, active management last year, you got our email, low-end average was 15, high-end was 30-plus. You know, because we talked about leveraging, and you can do these types of things in management. A typical buy and hold, you know, it's our opinion. And data supports it that a typical buy and hold where you diversify all around the globe, whether it be emerging markets or new markets, you're going to have something not working.
Sure, of course.
So we believe, as we discussed earlier, everything needs to be working forward and pushing the envelope. If the volume says to go there, go there.
Yep, absolutely.
It's not that difficult to do.
Yeah, the numbers, the facts don't lie. And we deal with, and Steve deals with facts. Feelings are the new facts in the culture, but in reality, facts are still facts. That's why we're talking to Steve Lewis of Lewis & Associates Capital Advisors. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, having some fun, talking about some important issues today with my good friend Steve Lewis, Lewis & Associates Capital Advisors. And if you want to have your own conversation with Steve Lewis, you can certainly do that. Just go to his website, lacapitaladvisors.com, lacapitaladvisors.com. And you've actually had working relationships with a number of our audience members, have you not? Isn't that, because you've had contact and you have a lot of people over the years, which is really cool. That's actually one of the ways that God kind of pats me on the back and keeps me in this game and being on the radio, because I oftentimes don't have a clue what he's doing with what happens on the show every day. But whenever you tell me about somebody from the show called in and ended up having a relationship with them, and that's awesome, I'm always like, oh, thank you, Lord, because he's showing me how he's using it. And in this case, it's something that helps you. And
well,
it's
we opened our third office in Holly Springs.
Wow.
And a couple from there, Roger and Sandra, I'll give their first name out.
There they are. Listen to the show.
Listen to you all the time. Yeah,
that's awesome. Roger and Sandra, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, and thanks for hanging out with Steve Lewis. He needs friends.
They don't like you, though. No, I'm just kidding.
I bet you they do.
They do.
I rarely meet somebody that doesn't like me. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm pretty likable. I mean, I'm funny. Not particularly good looking, but I'm funny. I got that going for me. I'm pretty.
Isn't it great that you and I have a face for radio and we're not afraid to say it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the fact that I'm, average looking at best. I mean, you're not.
I mean, I did those videos on our website.
Like it's not like you're ugly.
We did those.
You're not ugly.
We did those videos on, on the website.
Yes!
You know, and
yeah, that was pretty cool. You could see you could see Steve Lewis in action
so
at
bad.
CrossFit, LACapitaladvisors.com. Right,
it was
there.
So bad. It was so bad.
Why was it bad?
Well, because I hate dressing up, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to dress up for the video shoot. And
yeah, that's just not.
I just don't, you know.
Hey, the people in my life, when they see me in a suit, it's because I'm either at a wedding or a funeral. Other than that, you're not gonna catch me in a coat and a tie, and I hate that. That's
a wedding
bondage.
Or a funeral.
Yeah, I'm either at a wedding or people.
There's got to be another reason.
And when no, there isn't. I mean, that's about it. Well, see, like a banquet dinner every once in a while when I'm MC, I'll put on a sport coat. But yeah, if they say you have to wear a tie,
anyway.
I'm like, well, hire somebody else. Okay, let's keep going. We want to talk.
Well, I just
want to
say that there
things.
You can the things that we've discussed with stock prices, all these different things. Can be employed in a socially conservative Christian-based, you know, we're affiliated with National Christian Foundation.
And yeah.
The same standards, you know, with their standards, it's alcohol, gaming, and tobacco.
Right.
No. And abortion. And you have to do social media.
Don't invest in any company that's helping to propel
right.
those things in any way.
Right.
And then that's conservative,
sure.
Biblical, biblically sensitive investing.
Sure.
I love that.
The security identification codes are available. You can go out there and find those and find out which ones are those. But what isn't is the LGBT community. You got to do social media research on that.
Oh,
and
man.
Unfortunately, that would probably eliminate most everything in the Dow 30.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
You know, so.
Because they're all pretty much advancing that agenda.
Well, we saw that after the Supreme Court ruling on the marriage and all kinds of companies, General Mills and Nabisco and. They just put it all out there and, you know, different logos and rainbow colors and stuff. So you can employ and have a very good, productive portfolio if you want to stick within that, call it a genre, so to speak, and you can be very successful at
it. And do you guys
that.
Have those conversations pretty regularly at Lewis & Associates?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does that surprise people that you can actually be kind of biblically conscientious in your investing?
Well, they're surprised as to how many options there are.
Yeah.
Really. Right. So that's really where you have to take it from there. I mean, there's a lot of them out there that, dozens and dozens and dozens of,
that's nice to
good
hear.
Large cap, mega cap, extended cap positions, doing very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good to hear. And I think that's helpful. I think you don't make money at any cost. I mean, and I think most of us as Christians don't really pay attention to that. We're just looking for a good return, and that's good responsible stewardship, yada, yada, yada. But our good return could be helping propel something that's really on the side of the forces of darkness, and we need to be aware of that, I think.
Yeah, you can avoid the stuff like that because if you're not going to win it legislatively, you can win it with your pocketbook.
With your pocketbook.
And you really can.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to have their tall decaf at Starbucks.
Right. Got to have that. Can't avoid it.
And then they justify saying, well, they're not going to miss a $2.08 cup of coffee if I don't go there.
Yeah, but you got about 45 million faith-driven consumers around America.
If they did that.
Yeah, all of a sudden we could pretty much shut down anybody.
Well, yeah. Look what happened to Target.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
and Home Depot felt it several years ago when the American Family Association boycotted them.
Yeah. AFR did that. AFR
and they backed down.
Yeah, they backed down.
So anyway.
Vote with your pocketbook.
So we have Bitcoin. We have a few minutes.
Yes.
Right? So some headlines with this is.
So let me just go back about a year. I mentioned Glenn Beck earlier. It's kind of funny. Glenn Beck, when he first started talking about Bitcoin a year ago, and they were like, who knows what's going to happen? This stuff's crazy. But if you have some throwaway money, buy some. I remember when he first started talking about Bitcoin, it was at like 2,000 or 3,000. And then sometime late last year, it got as high as what? Like 18,000. Totally crazy. But now it's back. How far down has it come?
Well, it depends on how you're investing in it, as much as, 30, 40% or more. And so you have some headlines that came out. Vanguard warns of the idiosyncratic risk of cryptocurrencies' wild ride. Quote, William McNabb said in a Bloomberg interview, he said in Beijing, quote, I think there's a lot of leverage. I think there's a lot of speculation. If something seems to be too good to be true, it probably is.
Wow.
Wirehouses such as Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo, UBS are nixing Bitcoin.
State, by nixing, you're saying
getting
don't
rid
invest,
of it. Yeah,
get out of
state
it.
Regulators warn investors about cryptocurrency danger. Some subtitles here: state security regulators warned investors Thursday to be careful when putting their real money into virtual money. Mm. The North American Securities Administration, called the NSAA, released a statement outlining the weaknesses of cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, as well as futures contracts and other financial products based on them. For instance, NSAA. Said cryptocurrencies have little regulatory oversight, are subject to hacks, are not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, are highly volatile, and are created by unregulated companies. A couple of what's called blockchain ETFs.
Yep.
They're the companies that process these things.
Yeah, yeah.
They are, you know, BLCN and Block, BLOK, for example. And it's called a decentralized technology used to record transactions for Bitcoin. Couple other Bitcoins is GBTC is down 26%, and
wow.
ARKK is plus 7, and ARKW is 5, kind of
so,
flat.
So to boil all the Bitcoin stuff down.
Right.
It's really, the only thing you should have in it is like literally throwaway money, play money, essentially.
Well, if it's an equity, you can still put a stop on it.
Yeah.
You can go in on a limit. You can do it as anything else. But you have ProShares, Rafferty Asset Management, and Exchange Traded Concept have withdrawn applications after the SEC expressed concerns.
Because do you think the government will end up regulating Bitcoin? Because it's unregulated right now, and the government can't sleep at night
unless
it's regulated.
You can't regulate. It's tough to regulate something without a hard asset.
Yeah, good point.
So if I...
It's totally digital.
Yeah, like, you know, if I own General Motors as a bondholder, I'm senior in terms of getting my money if they file 13.
Right.
Unless you're Obama and you buy the company as federal government, and the bondholders were not senior, right? So usually it's the order is bondholders and then preferred stockholders and then common stockholders in that order, and that's how you get your stuff back. But there's nothing to do it here. There's nothing. They mentioned no FDIC. There's no hard asset to back it up.
It's the wild, wild west.
Right, and it's just – it's scary. I mean, you could end the day at 100% up and wake up with futures down 100.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, and not be able to control it all because your trade will effectuate on the day.
So that's really, you need to look, if you have any money in Bitcoin, that's got to be money that you could lose it overnight and not miss a beat tomorrow.
And, you know, we got a lot of questions from clients on this.
Yeah,
and
sure.
There's a word that's out there called alpha. Alpha is an investment term used to, you know, it's a measurement based on the expected return and the actual return.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't have any go 300 or 400%, but, you know, we had some really, really good returns in our portfolios without Bitcoin.
You don't have to have it. I mean, there's other ways to do well
in the market. I think just simple principal management, following the sector movements, and then find the mean or the average of that sector and push after those equities that are pushing that sector up.
Yeah.
And that's what really the strategy we use. And if there's something bad not moving, if it's flat, get out of it. Why carry a dead product?
Right, exactly.
You know, why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's kind of like your garden at home. If something's dead, you dig it up and you replace it.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a flower or a bush in your front yard that's not blooming, an azalea or something.
Yeah, see ya.
I'll just get rid of it.
Yeah, get it out of there. So we've got like a minute and a half left. So how are you feeling generally about 2018?
I feel pretty good. The earnings are going to be interesting, though. I mean, I'm interested to see Whole Foods' earnings after Amazon acquired them.
Oh, man. Yeah.
To see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
They're pushing the supermarket. You know, there's
non-checkout supermarket. Amazon just opened one.
There's some good video on that piece. But,
Do you think much about tax cuts and what's going on in Washington, D.C., and another $1 trillion down the drain with infrastructure spending? Do you pay much attention to that?
Well, I mean, again, with our safeguards – you know, in place that we've discussed?
Yeah.
No, I really don't, because I know that will give me in cash. Last time we were in 80% cash or higher was in the last quarter of 15.
Wow.
Well, we consider cash a valuable asset class, and we'll use it.
Yeah.
I mean, Catherine knows.
It's the defensive position.
And you know I'll be in it.
Absolutely.
I mean, because, you know, losses are linear, growth is geometrical.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to have to, as Patton used to say, don't cover the same real estate twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we can minimize that downside.
Makes sense.
We go in when enough players to field the team.
How do people, all of a sudden, because like when we first started talking a couple of years ago, we did a report. What's the name of that? I can't remember the name of the report. That kind of looks at all your investments. What's all this stuff in? How
Morningstar?
Much is it costing you? Like a Morningstar.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing for like a checkup. People should
sure.
start with that. Okay, let's look at what you're invested in now. What's that costing you? And that's a good conversation to begin to have.
Yeah.
Because we're in such a crazy
Yeah, and then when you compare the sectors with what's actually moving. You know, you get questions like, why was I in there?
Yeah, why was I in there? If you want to have that conversation, LACapitalAdvisors.com is Steve's website, LACapitalAdvisors.com. And Steve-O, great to have you in and to talk through these things. We need as much help as we can get. Some people like myself need more. You could say something. You don't have to push the mic away. You could like say goodbye or something.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
There you go. That's my friend Steve Lewis. LACapitalAdvisors.com. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon.